Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Debbie Guy Geish, the original revenue marketer, and welcome to WRMR Power Talk Radio for Revenue Marketing Leaders. You know, I began WRMR in 2008, and I can't believe it's been over 100 episodes already. But my goal from the very beginning until today remains the same, and that is to facilitate an executive-level discussion on how marketing is changing from being a cost center to a revenue center. And our show, I think, is really unique in that focus. I know there's a lot of great content out there in the market, but I think most of it's really more on the operational aspects of marketing, not so much on how to be a leader in this time of extraordinary change. So all the guests on the show are really here to talk about two different topics. Number one, how to lead change in a B2B marketing world. And number two, the elements of change, including strategy, people, process, technology, customer focus, and of course, you can't be a revenue marketer without talking about results. Now, today's show is called Achieving Line of Sight by Combining Sales and Marketing Operations. And today we're going to hear a great story of how one company achieved line of sight by combining sales and marketing's operations team and how doing that has helped marketing contribute, wait for it, 45% of the total bookings and help to drive double-digit revenue growth at Paycor. I think it's just fascinating that here we sit in 2017 and we still have marketers that are struggling with driving the expected revenue results and, of course, improving alignment with sales to achieve those revenue goals. What is still missing from the equation, I believe, is a clear line of sight to both functions. Now, if you take a look at a definition of clear line of sight, it is a straight line along which an observer has an unobstructed vision. And our guest today, Brian Voss, VP of Sales and Marketing Technology at Paycor, will share with us how a strategy of combining the marketing and sales operations has helped in terms of marketing contributing to bookings, 45% contribution, and double-digit company growth. And before I bring Brian on the show, let me give you a little bit about his background. And I laugh with Brian because I do call him the consummate revenue marketer. And I think when he was in college, he must have had a crystal ball because Brian, I think, is one of the very first people I've ever met who actually has a double degree in marketing and finance. He clearly saw his future as a revenue marketer. And since college, he has held many positions of increasing responsibility, including VP of marketing. Guess what? He's been a VP of revenue marketing, and now he's VP of sales and marketing technology at Paycor. So, Brian, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Debbie. It's great to be here.
So, you know, I was kidding you about that double degree and you having a crystal ball, but really, how did that happen in college that you wound up with a degree in both marketing and finance? I find that fascinating.
You know, I did an internship one summer in the marketing department of a bank, and I really enjoyed it. And there's a lot of banks in the town where I live and work. And I just figured that I would eventually graduate from college and go work for a bank and work in their marketing department. And at the time I said, okay, well, I probably should get the marketing degree if I want to do marketing, but I probably should have a finance degree as well if I want to go into sort of the banking industry, because maybe I'll do marketing, maybe I'll move into some other thing in the bank. And you know, I sort of figured that if I have a finance degree, I can do marketing. But if I only had the marketing degree, I couldn't necessarily do the finance job. So that was my thinking at the time. I ended up not going into the banking industry whatsoever. I ended up taking my first job at a very small startup software company. And it was a great decision. And I've been in high tech ever since. But that's what the college thinking was at the time. Who knows?
And how has having that finance background served you as a revenue marketer?
Well, you know, there's sort of two sides to a revenue marketer or a modern marketer, right? You need to have sort of the creative artist, coming up with the campaigns and the ideas and the creative side. But then there's the science side, right? We sometimes call our marketing ops folks the white lab coat marketers. They put on the lab coat and they do the science of marketing. And you have to, in order to understand the science side, you have to be able to think analytically, be comfortable with numbers, conversion rates, things like that. And, you know, in my entire career, I've always, been more of a revenue-focused marketer and understood and appreciated the impact that marketing has on the business. And, you know, having a finance-type background certainly helps.
So let's talk a little bit more about that, and let's put it in context of the revenue marketing journey at Paycor. So tell us a little bit about that journey.
Sure. Well, just a little bit about Paycor's context. We are in the payroll and HR software space, so we provide small, medium businesses with, you know, easy-to-use payroll and HR software. You know, 33,000 clients across the country. We have about 400 people in our sales organization, and we're growing fast. And when I started the company a little over 3 years ago, the marketing organization was not revenue focused, and it wasn't very good sales and marketing alignment. The company had grown. The company's been around for 25 years, right? It's an entrepreneurial success story. It's grown a little bit every year, profitable, built a great culture. And, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, the company made a strategic decision to really accelerate growth. They wanted to go from, you know, single digit, maybe 5-10% year-over-year growth to 20-40% growth. And we knew that in order to achieve these aggressive growth goals, we had to transform the marketing team into a revenue-focused organization. At the time, I sort of joke around with the team, right? Because at the time, we were the arts and crafts department. Smart people doing good work, but, you know, they were creating the color brochures and ordering the coffee mugs with our logo on it and planning the company parties. But there was no notion of lead generation, demand generation. They certainly couldn't impact, measure the impact that they were having on the business. And so we embarked on this journey to modernize the organization, make it a revenue-focused organization. My colleague, our chief sales officer, who brought me into Paycor, he and I have always been fans of the Pedowitz Group. And we use the white paper, right, creating a marketing revenue center of excellence, as the blueprint, the foundation to transform our team. And Debbie, I didn't even realize until you and I first talked prior to the show that you actually wrote that white paper, right?
It's such a small world, isn't it?
But, you know, so we set out to change the thinking of the team. You know, we created a revenue marketing team, and we created a marketing operations team, and we came up with some new job descriptions, hired some new people. And, you know, we also knew that in order to achieve these aggressive growth goals, that we had to have a strong technology foundation, you know, because at the time we had a poorly deployed, poorly adopted version of our CRM system. We had no marketing automation system whatsoever, no other sales and marketing technology. And so, you know, we started with Salesforce.com for CRM, and we put in Marketo for marketing automation. And since then, we put in a whole bunch of point solutions to automate processes and solve business challenges and really enable our teams to perform at their best.
So I'm curious, Brian, if you think about point solutions and if you think about your whole MarTech stack, offhand, how many different pieces of technology do you think you're using in marketing right now?
Yeah, I mean, within sales and marketing, we have over 25 different applications, probably.
Okay.
15 of those, maybe 20 of those even are definitely used within the marketing org. And,
okay,
you know, these come in all different shapes and sizes.
Sure.
You might imagine, right, some things are just used by certain people, some things are used by the entire organization. But we have quite a few over the last, 2 or 3 years.
It's amazing how many different pieces of technology marketers are using now. Probably when you began this journey, you only needed 2, 3, maybe 4 or 5. And now here you are managing 20, 25 pieces of technology. It's very interesting how far it's come.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, they make it easy these days to get started because, you know, all these tools we have build on top of, you know, connect, bolt onto the Salesforce platform or the Marketo platform. And so we really are able to get these things stood up and deployed without engaging our IT team in big projects, which is, you know, in the old days, that's what you had to do.
So let's just talk a little bit about how does marketing contribute to revenue at Paycor? And you had mentioned that, you know, along your journey, you've always been very focused on revenue. And, you know, it's very interesting. And, you know, Brian, you and I talked a little bit about this in the pre-interview, that even as we're sitting here in 2017, lots of VPs and CMOs are feeling pressure to show revenue results, yet only about a third are actually able to do that. And here you are at Paycor, and you guys are clearly showing that kind of revenue result. But tell us about how marketing contributes to revenue at Paycor and what that transition was looked like, because you said prior to this journey, you guys were the arts and crafts department.
Yeah, I mean, we came to a point where we said, okay, here's our sales bookings goal for the year. And we said, where's it going to come from? Right. And we knew that some was going to come from marketing. Some was going to come from our referral partners. Some of the salespeople were just going to generate on their own, et cetera. And we ended up sort of slicing up the pie into these different lead sources. And so marketing has a revenue goal, and they're not actually selling and closing the deals themselves, but they have a goal for deals where the lead or the opportunity is sourced by marketing. And in order to achieve their revenue goal, we sort of worked the math backwards to figure out how many opportunities is it going to take, how many appointments, how many campaign responses, and so on. And they have goals for each of those things broken down to a monthly basis. And we call this marketing math, right? I'm not sure we made that up, but we just call it marketing math internally, which essentially starts with the revenue goal and says, how much activity do we need to get there? And so, Debbie, you asked, how does marketing contribute to revenue? You know, we have a comprehensive demand gen strategy, right, that's allowing us to source deals for our salespeople. It's everything from email campaigns to webinars. We do a lot of webinars. We're going to do 200 webinars this year, events, inbound marketing, content marketing, digital marketing. We do a lot of local regional campaigns, a lot of marketing to our client base. And all of our campaigns are generating responses that we funnel through a sales development team that essentially pre-qualifies the leads and sets appointments for our salespeople in the field to follow up with. And we put that team in place not that long after we transformed the marketing org, because we wanted to make sure that all of these precious marketing leads received proper follow-up, timely follow-up, and made their way out to the field. And
does
the
SDR team report into marketing, Brian?
You know, they did it first. So when we first started the team, they reported into marketing. And I think there were a couple reasons for that. One is we wanted to make sure that this new revenue-focused marketing organization really got off to a great start. All of the leads, you know, were properly qualified, sent out to the sales organization. You know, I think another reason was at the time I was leading the revenue marketing team. I had one of these sales development teams at my past company. I sort of knew how it worked, so I started it up here. That team, you know, we started with four of them, quickly started to grow it, and they needed more help than anyone, myself or anyone in marketing, could give them. They started to need, you know, help with coaching and objection handling and things like that. So we transitioned them over to inside sales. But by that point, everybody was a believer in this new model and understood what was going on. And so now they report into the sales organization. But they're joined at the hip with marketing, in the sense that marketing has goals. Let me put it this way. The goals that the sales development rep team has around setting appointments and creating opportunities, marketing is on the hook for those goals. And so they're working hand in hand to make sure that things are successful. And we're up to 25, 26 of those sales development reps today.
That's amazing. So it sounds as though you've got some religion and you're walking the talk across the organization, and then you transition from being the VP of revenue marketing to now kind of running the sales and marketing combined operations function. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that and why you made that move and what it means to you and the organization?
Yeah, so this role is all about supporting the sales and marketing teams throughout the lead life cycle. So we're helping marketing achieve their demand generation goals. We're helping sales improve productivity, ultimately achieve their quota. And a lot of what we do is help these teams see what's working and what isn't. And this role that I'm in today didn't exist, right, when I started a few years ago. I was fortunate to have the opportunity to help come in towards the beginning, modernize the organization. Along the way, I did, you know, as you mentioned, I did lead the revenue marketing team for a bit, started that SDR team, and built out the tech strategy and sort of the operations side of the business. And, you know, we're growing fast. And as we've grown and evolved as a business, we started to really add dedicated leadership in these different areas. And so we've added a VP of revenue marketing. You know, I mentioned we have someone that's leading sort of the sales development team. And today I'm focused on operations with an emphasis on our tools and technologies. And it's somewhat unusual in a company our size to have a centralized sales and marketing operations team, right? A lot of companies have sales ops and they have marketing ops. But, you know, I think I sort of evolved into this role because of my part in working with the strategy for both sales and marketing. And today, you know, we support both teams. And, you know, I think that I'm a better leader as a result of this kind of experience and this kind of alignment.
So how do you think the company benefits from you, from one person leading both, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, I would say if anyone listening, right, if your company is committed to strong sales and marketing alignment, it makes sense to have a team that's responsible for growth because we're working closely with marketing to execute campaigns with our marketing automation system. We're leveraging, we talked a little bit about these point solutions, right? Whether it's ON24 to manage our webinars or Vidyard to track video engagement, whatever the tool is, we're helping marketing maximize those tools. We're also helping marketing track those leads through the funnel, right? From marketing qualified stage to sales accepted to sales qualified and so on, and report on campaign attribution so they can see which campaigns are working and which ones aren't. And so that's the marketing half of the equation. And then on the sales side, we're very focused on helping to improve sales productivity. We define that as getting more revenue out of the people that we already have. And so, you know, we're arming our sellers with technology to improve effectiveness. We're coming up with and running sales contests, working with compensation, providing people with, you know, really good prospecting data, good quality data, and again, a lot of reporting and analytics on the sales side to measure the health of that business. And I think that the fact that I sort of have in my team, we have this firsthand knowledge of what the marketing team's focused on at the top of the funnel and being very close to our sales strategy and feedback from our sellers more towards the bottom of the funnel, this perspective makes us more effective. You know, I'll just I can give you an example. We just recently completed a project where we sort of took our funnel reporting to the next level, tracking leads, right, from every stage of the funnel, top to bottom, conversion rates, velocity, et cetera. And there was a lot of work to get this project done for both sales and marketing. And we had to leverage the technology side, like the Salesforce team and the Marketo team, but also just, you know, business users from both areas. And I think that since my team spans both functions, we were able to quickly, you know, collaborate, make some decisions, work together, and get this thing done a lot faster than if we were two separate reporting relationships with two separate sets of opinions.
So I'm just completely fascinated by this. And, you know, one of the things that I do, of course, for the Pedowitz Group, it's my job to be looking outside of the company and to always be looking at the market and how the market is transforming and which way it's moving. And as I take a look at, of course, the revenue marketing journey, and as I take a look at the rise of the marketing operations function, I see the marketing operations function as being a significant level of maturity of the revenue marketing journey. So, you know, here was a company that did not see marketing as a revenue contributor. It was, you know, the make it pretty department. They did great things, but they were not about revenue. The company wanted to accelerate revenue growth, began to look for new ways to do that, said, aha, there's this, you know, modern marketing, revenue marketing thing. Let's try that. So you come in, you kind of help spearhead and got that revenue marketing thing engine going, kind of getting that, you know, up to speed. You guys began to make some real impact on that. And then being the entrepreneur that you are, clearly, Brian, you like to build and go and do new things. Then you built not just a marketing ops function, but a combined sales and marketing operations function, which I see as a a really high level of sophistication and maturity. And when I reflect on that, I can see where that's a true accelerator of performance for an organization for all the reasons that you just spoke about. And there is such a gap still between the sales and marketing alignment. And I can see where having not just a marketing ops function, but having a combined sales and marketing operations function really serves to knit those two functions together across people, process, and technology. I love this story. I think it's one of the most sophisticated stories that I've heard and seen in a long time. But we've talked about all the really cool things that happened. What kind of challenges did you have as you were making that transition from, you know, just leading the revenue marketing team to the builder of the sales and marketing operations team? Did you have any challenges?
Yeah, I mean, sure. There were some things along the way that we learned from. I remember, here's a funny story. At the very beginning, this was sort of early on in the revenue marketing journey here at Paycor. The team, we had just put some of the infrastructure into a place to allow us to measure marketing's contribution to sales, right? Marketing's contribution to bookings in an accurate format with credibility. And the marketing team at the time said, our goal is going to be for this quarter to generate 30% of our sales bookings. So we want none of the bookings to be sourced by marketing. And we went off, and the team did their thing, and we were measuring. And at the end of the quarter, the sales team was like 85% of their quota, something like that. But marketing had sourced 30% of that. Right. So at the time, marketing was like, yay, we got our goal. Right. We sourced 30% of sales for the quarter. They were celebrating, big party. Right. Even some folks got in front of the board and talked about.
Oh, no.
And I still remember. Right. And our CEO was like, guys, why are you celebrating? Why you're not winning. Right. Sales didn't win. Therefore, you didn't win. And I think it was a wake up call for some of the folks on the team because they said, oh, you're right. At the end of the day, it's all about the bookings number. So quickly, the marketing goals changed from 30% or whatever the number was to the sales quota goal, not just whatever it is they sold. But that's, you know, that was sort of a quick lesson learned. You know, I think another thing, Debbie, that we've it's just an ongoing challenge. It's fun, but it's a challenge, is making sure we have good adoption of all the tools that we have, because we have, you know, we have 25 some tools that we're using in sales and marketing. And making sure that we're maximizing the value of those tools, that they're firing all cylinders, you know, is always a challenge. And so we've evolved as a company over the last couple of years. We have a great sales training organization. We call them Learning and Development. We partnered with them to come up with programs to reinforce the adoption of these tools. Not necessarily the tools that the marketing team uses. This is more of the tools that our field salespeople use that are sometimes sponsored by marketing, just to make sure we drive adoption and awareness and learning and practice of the tools that we've invested in so that we can feel confident that we're getting the most out of them.
That's a really great idea. And I do see that issue in a lot of companies, especially once you start getting past 10 different technologies. And especially as you get across these technologies that aren't pervasive across many people, they might be, you know, just within a group or within a different sector. But if you actually think about ROI from technology, most calculations are based on 100% activation or use, full use of that technology. And even today, we might use 20-25% of that technology, so those calculations are not correct. So I do believe that for most sales and marketing operations group, there's real gold and really working to maximize and optimize what they currently have in their MarTech stack. So I do think that's a really good strategy. And Brian, I love the idea of partnering with your learning and development team. You know, if they have a basic piece of technology like a learning and training platform that you can easily create any kind of simple learning and training modules or just something that you can do that really helps that learning. And something you can do to help make that learning pervasive and easy to replicate. I really think that's a fantastic idea. I really do. Okay.
Well, our team, I was just going to say just quickly, Debbie, just to piggyback on that, our learning team did a great job of recognizing that we have a diverse group of associates across our company, everything from, you know, millennials to baby boomers and beyond. And these different groups of people, they learn differently, right? They communicate differently. They embrace technology differently. And, you know, if you think about sort of the baby boomer type folks, they're more into, you know, face-to-face meetings, like to communicate over the telephone, whereas Gen X, it's more email, text message, right? And millennials is more social and mobile. And so we've developed a series of learning platforms that are reinforcing a lot of these tools and technologies that communicate in different ways to the different people based on what they like. So we could do a whole session just on that alone, but it's been a learning experience for me too.
And Brian, I'd love to see that someday if you'd like to show that to me. I'd be keenly interested in seeing what you guys have developed.
Great.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, last question. We're getting kind of close to the end here, and this is a completely fascinating story. But I always like to end my shows with advice, because if you take a moment to reflect on the experiences that you've had, it's really phenomenal. So what advice do you have, really, in two different areas? What advice do you have for the leader of a marketing ops or a combined marketing and sales ops? And what advice do you have for that CMO who's sitting out there who does not currently know how to optimize that marketing operations function? So let's start with the first one. What advice do you have for the leader of the marketing ops?
Yeah, well, I would say to make sure that you're building and thinking about your revenue funnel in terms of a funnel that combines both sales and marketing, right? You can't stop at the MQL, the marketing qualified lead, because leads don't matter if they don't convert into revenue. And if your primary goal is based on leads or MQLs, then you're probably not well aligned with sales. So you need to evolve from demand gen to revenue gen. And it's not, you know, if you want to be a revenue-focused organization, it's not acceptable to just take your leads, throw them over the wall to sales, and wipe your hands clean and say it's now their responsibility. You need to really partner hand in hand and make sure that you have the right leads that are going to convert into revenue. And that may mean
you finish on that. So as the leader of marketing ops, is that your responsibility or is that the responsibility of your VP of revenue marketing?
So I would say it's my responsibility to build the revenue funnel and measure the leads as they go through the funnel. It's the responsibility of the VP of revenue marketing to make sure that the leads are being properly followed up with by the sales organization and making sure that they do convert into revenue. And if they're not converting into revenue, it's a team effort to figure out why, but the VP of revenue marketing is certainly taking point on that.
Okay. All right. Okay. Perfect. Okay.
Yeah. So that's a big one. And, you know, just always this industry and this business is just changing so often. So in order to stay relevant, just have the always be learning kind of an attitude, you know, listening to programs like this, reading the articles, the blogs, conferences, events, things like that is just always, always good advice. The second one you asked for is CMO, right?
Yes. What about that CMO who hasn't yet quite figured out that marketing ops is their greatest asset?
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I would say to that individual is, you know, again, if you have a desire to increase your growth rate at your company, make your team more revenue focused, you can't do it without a strong marketing ops function. And, you know, marketing ops will make you look like a hero to the board because they're going to show the impact that marketing is having on revenue. And they're going to empower you to have that seat at the revenue table. And, you know, if it's outside of your comfort zone, try to find a CMO who's optimized and pick his or her brain. You know, any CMO of a high growth tech company is going to have a strong marketing ops team. So, you know, they'll make you look good at the end of the day.
I completely agree. And do you make your CMO look good, Brian?
I'd like to think so.
That was about 2 years ago when I first heard a VP of marketing ops. He told me at a conference, my job is to make my CMO look good. And I'm like, that is the best job description I have ever heard. And absolutely so very, very, very true. Well, Brian, you have been an absolute delight to speak with today. I think your story is fascinating. It's textbook. You're absolutely textbook on when it comes to revenue marketing. Your company, you had a reason to want to accelerate revenue. You got your revenue marketing engine going. You've got religion across the organization. And then you came in and built this really great sales and marketing operations engine, which is all about building that efficiency and that effectiveness that just takes the whole engine to the next level. So thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Debbie. It's been fun. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, it was our pleasure to have us. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Remember, you can hear us on iTunes. You can also check us out at the Pedowitz Group Facebook page. You can check us out at www.pedowitzgroup.com. And remember, it's a great day to be a revenue marketer, and we will see you next time.